Fathers, we bow before you, thanking you for the blessings of a beautiful day. God, our hearts are all overflowing with love for you and love for the couple that have just spoken. We believe that the church is in your hands. We believe that this family is in your hands, and that the scripture that has been expressed will be carried out, will be fully utilized. We're yielded to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Kurt, thank you for doing that. Living in the image of Christ Jesus in the middle of COVID-19, the verse that I would like to use to start today, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, if you have your Bible, I will want to read that from three different translations. The first one is from the NIV, and it says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and being of one mind." I think a little bit better would be the New American Standard says, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." And the best, I believe, for this verse would be, and the New Living Translation says, "Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose." And that would be, I think, a clear expression of living in the image of Christ Jesus is when we are seeking to make God happy, to make our leaders happy, but most of all, in our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be happy, loving one another, and working together. And then a familiar verse that I'd use is Romans 12 and verse 1 in the New King James says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Both of the words, transformed and conformed, have a common root. The form or meaning a pattern or a mold. And then being transformed also carries with it the idea of the process that it takes to make us a finished product. This last 5 months in particular have been a time that I believe not only individually are we being conformed to be in the image of God, but I believe the church has an opportunity to be conformed to the image of God. We will never, ever, ever be like we were before this all began back in March. Those that are like 5 or 6 years old, those that are yet to be born, they have no idea what it was like on pre-COVID-19. But we know what God is doing in our lives. I have had to evaluate. I have had to test. I have had to look at everything I believed and everything I stood for, because your very roots are being challenged. They're being shaken. This is an opportunity for us to realize I am being conformed to the image of Christ. I'm in the process of preaching in several places now to break down what does it look like to be conformed to the image of Christ. Jesus is our pattern or our mold, and we're being transformed so that we will eventually be conformed to the likeness of Christ. I don't think there's one of us in the room today would say, "I have the exact form of Christ. I am the perfect image of Jesus Christ." The scripture that Stan read for us, so applicable. He who says they're like Christ, or they have no sin, or they're perfect, the truth is not in us. We're lying. We're even calling God a liar. So that's not a bragging point to know we're not perfect, is it? That's just an honest confession that we are in the process of being conformed to this world, in the process of being conformed to be in the image of Christ. I would pray that from the 1st of March until the middle of August, you can note that there has been some transforming happening in you. You have a relationship, you have a trust, you have a dependency upon God that you never had before in your life. You have friends, I have friends. Some have had loved ones who have passed away during this time. They've not been able to even have services for them yet. I've talked this week to about 6 different shut-ins, older people. They cannot understand, why has everybody shut me off? Why have they cut me off? Why are they not coming to see me anymore? Why do they not love me? What did I say? What did I do? You try to explain that to someone who has a touch of dementia, and there's absolutely no way that you can explain it. But we're just trying, and we have a couple. The lady is 70. Her mother is 93. And periodically, the 70-year-old will call me and say, DK, would you please find time to call Mom and help settle her down? This 93-year-old, I love it when I call her and I talk to her. And somewhere in a conversation, I usually ask her, do you remember the day that we were in the high-rise and you were packing up, getting ready to move over at that time to Big Hill and now to Bethany? She said, well, yes, I do. Well, do you remember what you did in your living room when everything was packed up and it was ready to be loaded? Well, yes, I did. Because she would say, when I'd ask her about a relationship with the Lord, well, I hope I'm okay. I said, what did you do in that room? She said, I prayed and I asked Jesus, forgive my sin, come into my life, gave my life to him. That is as clear as day to her. Her life has been transformed from being conformed to this world to over here seeking to become more and more like the image of Christ. What I would say to you today, I hope that you can note and honestly say before God, God, I'm on my way. I'm on the journey. I'm becoming more like you. Because right now, there are people around you and around me who are taking a new look. I hate the term when people say, well, I'm not religious like you are. And you've heard me say before, the first thing I do is grab their hand and tell them, man, I am not religious either. I hate religion. Religion is killing the world. But a disciple of Jesus Christ, dedicated to the Word of God in the Bible, is a transforming, conforming to the image of Christ. That is what we're praying for each other. The word conform in the dictionary says it means to behave according to socially accepted conventions or standards. That we are behaving according to the world. The world has really not changed a whole lot in the last 6 months other than the expression of the hearts of people who don't love God is now becoming more evident. People are expressing themselves. When you look on the TV, and boy, let me encourage you, don't watch more than a maximum of 35 minutes a week news. And I would recommend that what I'm saying there is a maximum of 5 minutes a day for 7 days a week. So if you don't turn TV on Sunday at all, so then you can go 6 minutes a day for 6 days. After that, turn that junk off. Most of you who follow the videos I produce, you remember the one I did not too long ago that said, God, give me patience? I want to tell you, that is still being transformed. I've not reached the image of Christ in that one. Because when they come on with that nonsense, and there's a couple of people in particular, I want to throw my phone at the TV. I want to go kick it. And I've already got a sore toe, so I can't do that. But I don't know where you're at in this. But we are right now sitting in a room saying, we recognize that our God reigns and He's in control. He's on the throne. And we are not going to yield to this conformed to the social status convention or the standards of this world. The thesaurus, which is sort of gives you all the different words for being conformed, says it's, I just want to read you a list here. to show you how complicated and complex this really is. It says, if to conform means visitors have to conform to our rules. I don't know about you. I'm not very much of a conformer. In fact, I've been accused of being, and I don't like this. I've been accused of being an in-your-face Texan. Like, come on, give me a break. 63 years ago, we moved to Worsley. Now, you can say he's in your face. That's all right. Just say he's in your face. Defend himself. He's been married for a long time. You can say whatever you want to do about that. But the visitors have to conform to our rules. And do you know that what's happening in our government right now and the laws of the land, they're endeavoring to make you, to make me conform to the rules of the land. Do you find yourself wanting to push back pretty hard on that? I don't have to agree or disagree with all this stuff. I just don't like people telling us what to do. Only God should tell the church what to do. Only God can tell an individual what to do. But boy, we have a government force right now, a judicial system, political system, that's pushing hard to make us conform to the rules that are set up without the Bible being the base. I was just telling Brenda this morning, I can't remember, I talked to many people, I don't know who I told this week, but one of the things that just really concerns me when we're dealing with this area is people that just, they have an idea and an opinion, and they're entitled to that. But I do not have to conform to their opinion. And you don't have to conform to mine. The only thing I ask you to do, if the Word of God says it, let's get together. In the first verse that we had, remember what it said? Be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, be of one mind, get on one purpose. Just say Cornerstone is going to go down a straight line, and we are going to ultimately be conformed to be in the image of Christ. We're underway, and we can note where this is happening. It says that we need to comply with or abide by or obey or observe all the rules, to conform, to follow, to keep on to, or to hold to, or to adhere to, or to satisfy, or match up to, or to meet, or fulfill. On and on and on and on the list goes of what it means to be conformed to this world. That means you are totally controlled by the things that the world has to offer, that Satan and anybody else said, if it's a part of the rules, you have to lock into it. I'm not encouraging vigilantes. I'm not encouraging rebel rousers. I'm not encouraging any of that. But I am saying that somewhere deep in the recesses of your soul and your mind and your heart, God has to be in control. God has to take precedence. Someone asked the question recently, you know, the scripture says that we'll obey the laws of the land. How do you know where you draw the line on that? I think it only agrees when you come to those people in the New Testament said, we must obey God and what? Not man. So that's no excuse to say every time I'm going to disagree with everything because I'm doing it in the name of God. We to some extent are getting what we asked for, right? To transform in the dictionary means that make a marked change in the form, the nature, or the appearance of something. So we are conformed over here in this world. All of us are before we yield to Jesus Christ. And we even battle with that and struggle with that oftentimes after we become a Christian person. It just has a grip on us, does it not? It just hangs on. And you can shake it loose, and if you don't watch it, it'll just right back. So we're being transformed means there is a marked change. I like that little word being put in there, a marked change. That means that there should be a change that you identify, but it's marked to the extent that other people around you also identify the change in you. You know, it's not enough to just say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. But no one around you can see any difference. You've heard many, many times what St. Francis said when the young man came a long ways to spend the day with him. And he just went about and walked about and went to this village, went to that place. Came to the end of the day and the young man said, I came a long ways to be with you and see how you witness to people and how you preach. And St. Francis said, always preach and proclaim the gospel. And if necessary, use words. That's the difference right here. A marked change in you will show to the world around you. There's no better time for us to set a new, clear, marked course than right now. Because a lot of people are seeking some answers to what's going on. What happened here? What caused this? Boy, have you heard more than one opinion? You know, I've heard so many, I get dizzy. That's why I said 35 minutes news. Because after that, you get foggy and you get cloudy. And you're worse than having vertigo. I mean, you're just dizzy on the junk you've heard. Wouldn't it be nice if you could trust somebody? I don't know who to trust anymore on the news or who's giving a report. You know, you've got to wear a mask because masks help you protect you from other people and protect the other people from you. Don't wear a mask because that's hard on your lungs breathing. I mean, who knows? Who knows? But we do know that God is saying we need to be in the process. Now, this begins when you ask Jesus Christ, forgive your sin, come into your life. You begin the conforming to the new image of Christ at that point. But when he says that you be transformed by the conforming by your mind, that is a lifetime. I don't believe that we will ever be perfectly in the image of Christ until the day he calls us home. But, oh boy, we should look a lot different. You know, the longer we walk with Jesus, the statement is, I'm not sinless, but I should be sinning less. I should be more and more and more like him. When transformed, again, when you look in the thesaurus with that word, it says it's a change, it's to alter, or to modify, or to convert, or to transfigure, or to reconstruct. Those are powerful words, are they not? Not only a little change, but alter it. I see these, I was in a wedding yesterday, had one grandson, one granddaughter, and that grandson finally talked into the girl saying yes, so we had the wedding ceremony yesterday afternoon, and everybody's got to alter their suit and alter their dress and alter. I hope you don't see this one on Facebook. But the young bride was standing there, and the girl behind her, who was her matron of honor, maid of honor, the single was maid of honor. It was her maid of honor. And so she was adjusting this thing on the bride's head, you know, that holds this little deal in the back. And so all of a sudden, this guy who's the best man, I concluded that he's different. He reached up while they're working on her head. He reached up, and he's got hair about as curly as Jeremy's. So he's up there, you know, fixing his hair. And then somebody, lo and behold, caught him at the same time he reached over and patted my grandson on the hind end and told him it's all going to be okay. That has nothing to do with the message, but I had to get that off of my mind because it's just been there. It's just been sucking up any good thoughts I might have had. It means to recast, reorganize, rearrange, reorder, revamp, re-revolutionize. Turn it upside down. Don't you love that? That's what this word conform means, is just to simply turn it upside down and be transformed into the new image of Christ. And sometimes that's not a pleasant time. Brenda and I have had some really difficult times in our life. But in the process, I'm getting older and I'm recognizing that God does what God needs to do to transform my life. to be in the image of who He is. When we're conformed to being like Christ, then the world's fashions and ideas will not affect us any longer. Christians, renewal imparts not only the will and power to do God's will, but also intelligent enough to discern it. Let me read that statement to you again. Christian renewal, that transforming to the image of Christ, not only imparts the will and the power to do God's will, but the intelligence to discern it. Again, right now, the last 5 or 6 months, we are bombarded, are we not, with all kinds of ideas and concepts that most of us who are 40, 50, 60, 70 years older, you'd have thought that would have never, ever, ever been on the surface and in the minds of the human race in Canada. Never. But we are dealing with things that shows we need the will of God and the mind of God now to help us discern what is right, what is correct, what is the church going to look like going forward. You know what it's going to look like? What you yield to the Holy Spirit's leading and what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. We're not going to be able to do it ourselves. You know, right now, Cornerstone, you are seeking the mind of Christ to say, where are we going? What are we going to look like? What kind of leadership do we need? The one thing we need every person on board. Every person on board said, I will do what I can do. I will say what I need to say. I will speak, but I will not be angry if I'm not agreed with. It's been said before that most people don't have to always get their way. They simply need to be able to walk out of the room and know I was heard. I don't get my way, but I was heard. And so that's where we are today. At salvation, we become a new person with a new final destination. But what Paul is talking about in Romans 12, 2, he further explains in Philippians 3, 12 when he says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's our goal. Conform to the world, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed to the image of Christ. And Paul is saying in that verse that it's going to take a lifetime to do it. We haven't arrived, but we're going to press on. And we're going to press on. In Romans 8, 29, he says, for God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God knew from before the foundation of the earth what you were going to do when confronted with the opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ. He knew your outcome. You know the beautiful part of it is, though? Your name was written in the book, but it wasn't illuminated with the blood of Jesus Christ until you said, Lord, I confess. I yield my life to you. Transform me. Make me your child. And this says that He knew that, but I am so grateful that even during COVID-19, there have been people who said, I now yield my life to Jesus Christ. I now want to be like Him. I now want to walk in His favor. And let's spend the rest of our time, if I may, just sort of analyzing what this transformed person really looks like. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That's what we're talking about when we get to where we're living in the image of Christ. You may have an opinion, but when all the opinions boil down, this verse says in Philippians 2:5, that in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. I have my opinion, but my mindset must level out, having the mind of Jesus Christ. I want to leave with you 12 things, and I'll not comment on those, but I'm in the process of studying and developing studies for myself. These are whereby things that you can evaluate how well you're doing in this transforming process. Number one, do you hear what Jesus hears in the world today? Do you see what He sees? Do we love as He loves? Are we learning to think like Jesus thinks? Do we daily act like Him? Do we react like Him? Do we talk like Jesus? Do we feel like Jesus feels? Do we really care like Jesus cared? Do we serve as Jesus served? Do we give like Jesus gave? And my last question, how concerned am I about how well my family, my friends, my neighbors, and my church is doing in these areas during these days? We're on a journey. We're being transformed to be like the image of Christ. That's what the world needs to see today, right? There's a statement that says, what you and I really believe we do, everything else is just religious talk. Let's pray. Father, as we bow before You right now, God, we open our hearts and our minds to You. We want to be living in the image of Christ Jesus. We know that that's going to take some time. And God, we know that it's going to be joy and it's going to be sorrow. It's going to be laughter and it's going to be tears. But You're in the process of transforming us to be like You. Lord God, would You be with every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room today? That we will be real honest, just a conversation between You and me, God. Between each individual and You. Lord, if You have something You need to say, if there's sin in my life that needs to be confessed and dealt with, if I need to make a public commitment to Jesus Christ, this could be my day. If I need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in that first major step of obedience called water baptism, God, would You lead that to happen today? I do pray that You would be with each one in this room. Oh, please make us visibly living in the image of Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. As the worship team comes to lead us, and I'm going to ask, because you had respectfully asked David Waits to preach for you. David, if you will take the center this morning, if you have any commitment that you need to make from what I said, would you please come and share that with David? This may be the day you would say, DK, I know I've been struggling in my heart. I know God's stirring my heart. I know I want to yield to Him to completely. And I just found that hard to do. But this is my day. God created August 16th, 2020, right in the middle of COVID-19, to reach into my life and call me out. Would you say yes to Him today? And maybe you have made that commitment, but you've never publicly identified with Him through baptism and become a part of this church. You will come, and David will share with you. Stan will share. Curtis will share. Jeremy will share. There are many others who can help you in that area. Let's stand together, and you come and make your commitment as we sing.